You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. Come on, let us go back and tell the people in the city." In other words, they couldn't keep it to themselves. Isn't that awesome, guys? So they went and told everybody. So both the lepers and the former blind guys did what we're supposed to do. Tell everyone everywhere about the blessings and the blesser. As we cling to the simple.
When we receive a gift or if we purchase something we've wanted for a long time, we often like to tell our friends or family about it. We enjoy talking about the highlights of our lives. But is that true when it comes to sharing the gospel? Today, Pastor Dion discusses how salvation is God's greatest gift to mankind. Jesus has delivered us from the clutches of sin and given us eternal life. Every other joy in this world pales in comparison to the joy of receiving salvation. So how can you share that great gift with others? Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of Matthew chapter 9 as he continues his message, Blind, Not Stupid.
Stopping at third base won't win the game. And these two blind guys were diligent. They were persistent. They didn't stop at third base. Here's what they did. You know, they're walking, calling out, hoping that they're going to hear Jesus call them to come on up because they've identified him and they're full of faith. And Jesus doesn't. He just walks into Peter's house and they heard all of that. And they're like, oh. But they don't let that stop them. They felt their way all the way to the door, walked into Peter's house uninvited. I mean, Peter's getting a lot of interruptions over at his house. Two blind guys walk into his home, into Peter's house, uninvited, and they say, "Hello, we're here to see the king. Hello." Let's read it, verse 28. And when he had come into the house, that's Jesus, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, everybody, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all of that country. So Jesus walks into Peter's house. The blind guys, you know, obviously aren't going to just wait to see when might be another opportunity. Oh, no, they just walk in there and they say, "We're here to see Jesus." See, the blind guys didn't let the closed door keep them from the king. Listen, you might be just one step away. You might be just one service away from a miracle. So don't let circumstances or consequences, don't let doubts or discouragements, don't let villains or viruses keep you from the king. Don't let it. Everybody say it. Don't let it. Because if you don't make any dust, you're going to eat dust. See, Jesus drew those blind men in. I mean, what he did, he heard them. But he's drawing their faith even further. I mean, it might have seemed like he was leaving them out in the cold, but oh no. He wants to see how determined. He's drawing your faith out just a little bit further. And those guys wouldn't stay outside. And so they walked in, and then Jesus asks them when they get there. He's even going to draw their faith out a little bit further. He asks them this. He says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Now, he's not talking about opening their eyes. He's talking about so much more. See, the blind guys were asking for forgiveness. They weren't asking for healing. They were asking for, they said, "Son of David, have mercy." That is forgiveness, reconciliation with God. Sure, they wanted healing, but they also wanted reconciliation with God because he's the only one that can give it. God is the only one that can give reconciliation. So that's why Jesus is saying, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Only God can forgive sin. Priests can't forgive your sins. Your own works or actions can't forgive your sins. There is nothing you can do to cleanse your guilt, to cleanse your sin, to cleanse your slate. Only God can do that. So Jesus is saying, do you believe that I'm God? Do you believe in what you just said, that I am the Son of the living God, his King? Do you believe it? Do you believe I'm able to do this? That's what he's saying. That's what he's asking them. See, disobedience and unsanitary and immoral living was likely the cause of their blindness. And they were looking for something more than just bodily healing. They were looking for spiritual reconciliation. They were looking for peace with God. They were looking for peace, the peace of God. And Jesus is saying, okay, but do you believe that I'm able to do this? See, the blind guys knew that Jesus could heal, that Jesus could even heal blindness. But Jesus wanted to know if they believed he could forgive their sin, that he could restore them to God. And you know how they replied? They replied convincingly, saying, yes, Lord. Everybody say out loud what? Yes, Lord. They said it with all the conviction and emotion of a groom or a bride during their vows. When they say, I do. I've watched so many as I've conducted so many wedding ceremonies here and on this platform, the two individuals, the bride and the groom, looking starry-eyed, dreamy-eyed into each other's eyes. And when I'm going over the vows with them, do you take, will you do? And they say, I do, I do. I so yes, I do. They are completely in it. They are sold out, as it should be. And that's the kind of conviction, the kind of emotion that these blind guys, when Jesus says, do you believe I'm able to do this? We do. Yes. Yes, Lord. With all of our heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says this, for it is by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God. And with his mouth, he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. In the original King James, it says, as a man believes in his heart, you know, if he believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, he shall be saved. You guys got that? So in other words, guys, the salvation isn't solid until you've committed to it. And that's what Jesus was drawing them towards. He's drawing them in. He says, do you believe I'm able to do this? He wants to hear their commitment. He wants them to hear, yes, I do, because it's not solid until you've committed to it. Because Jesus doesn't want any secret admirers. No secret admirers. And the two blind men, they confirmed what they believed by their confession. And when they did, Jesus touched their eyes, and they were instantly healed. Not progressive. Not, you know, a little at a time, go see your doctor, you're going to notice some changes over up here. No, it was, as Mark says in his gospel, immediately. It happened instantaneously. It was pretty cool. The two blind men, I mean, their eyes were opened. I can only imagine the celebration of two stinky blind men who have now received their sight inside of Peter's living room. I can imagine them singing and dancing and, hooping and hollering. You want to know why? Because saved birds sing. I don't clap at church. I don't say amen. I don't respond. Saved birds sing. They can't hold it back. They just can't. Listen, and besides that, it's what we're created to do is give praise and adoration and appreciation to God. A bird's song, a rooster's crow, a lion's roar, a wolf's howl, an individual's praise is all declaration of praise to the Creator. You have created us. We are yours. And now you're ours. We confess you. We claim you. Man, the blind men were hooping and hollering. They were making more noise than a Price is Right contestant. You know what I'm saying? Holy smokes. But then that's when Jesus scolded them not to tell anyone. That don't tell anyone. Keep my identity. Since you know who I am, keep my identity on the down low. Now, we're wondering, why? Listen, the reason behind that is because it could impede Jesus' plan. He doesn't want it getting ahead of him. There's a plan and a course he has to take. If you remember, I think just in a little bit, Jesus feeds 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. You remember the story out in the open plains. He feeds 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. When they find out what had happened, the crowd does, they want to make him king. They want to put him on their shoulders and march him over into Jerusalem and tell Rome, you guys are out. This guy is in. Do it, Jesus. They're going to take him by force. Jesus doesn't want that to happen. So he's telling these guys, I don't want it to get ahead of me, so make sure you keep my identity on the down low. We don't want it to publicize it too much. I mean, you know, but here's the thing. The guys couldn't keep it to themselves. Could you? They spread the news. Everybody said they spread the news. They couldn't keep it. And it's interesting because Jesus says, hey, listen, don't tell anyone, all right? He tells them, and they go out and they tell everyone. Jesus tells us, tell everyone, and we go out and hardly tell anyone. But these guys, they just can't contain it. They've got to tell somebody. They're like the lepers in that Old Testament story I told a few weeks ago. You remember, the Syrians had surrounded Jerusalem. They were putting the squeeze. It was a siege. They were putting the squeeze on Jerusalem. As Nacho would say, the anaconda squeeze. And they were doing it. They had been there 18 months. Jerusalem was starving to death. All the people in the city were starving to death. They were actually taking up, you know, making a list of whose kids they were going to eat first because, you know, that's all there was in order to survive. It was pretty bleak. But then Elijah gathers everybody in the middle of Jerusalem court and says, hey, listen, guys, I have a word from God. God has spoken to my heart, and here's what God said. God said, by tomorrow at this time, there's going to be so much food in the city of Jerusalem, you'll be able to buy, a basket full of bread for a penny. And they're like, yeah, right. Well, there were four lepers on the bottom of the wall who heard Elijah's story. And they said, well, if God's going to do something, what are we sitting here for? Let's go over there in the Syrian camp and find out what God's going to do and see if God hasn't already done it. Because, if we just sit here, what is it going to cost? We go out there, they're going to kill us. We're going to die anyway. We have leprosy. So they go out there and they find the Syrians are all gone. Their tents are there, their food's there, their gold, all of the stuff that they've been collecting, it's all there. But all the Syrians are gone. Here's what happened. All of a sudden that night, God made a sound of a rumble. And the Syrians thought that the Jews, that Israel had asked Egypt and the Moabites to come and help them against the Syrians. They thought, oh no, we're getting surrounded. And they retreated. They all ran home and left their tents and everything there. These four lepers find all of this stuff. And they start enjoying it. Here's what it says. The lepers went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing. Finally, they said to each other, this is not right. This is a day of good news. And we aren't sharing it with anyone. Come on, let us go back and tell the people in the city. In other words, they couldn't keep it to themselves. Isn't that awesome, guys? And so they went and told everybody. So both the lepers and the former blind guys did what we're supposed to do. Tell everyone everywhere about the blessings and the blesser. Well, the ex-blind guys, they go out there and they tell everyone. They're hitting the streets. I was blind, now I see. They're singing the Amazing Grace song. You know, they're doing it. They're talking to everybody, telling everybody about Jesus. And then they come back. They come back to Peter's house to bring Jesus, a guy who was deaf and dumb and demon-possessed. They just come in. They walk him right into Peter's house and say, Jesus, look who we brought. Somebody else needing help. Let's read it. Actually, here's what it says. We have to be careful to understand this before we actually read. This whole thing of demon possession. Demons fallen angels roam this earth with a special interest in humans. They find a host to possess so they can act out their perversions. That's what demons do. If necessary, in order to manipulate and control their host, demons will cause physical maladies like mental illness, seizures, sickness, depression. Now, I'm not saying that every individual with seizures, depression, or mental illness is demon-possessed. I'm just saying that demons have a tendency to try to manipulate their host using those very maladies. But I want you to rest assured, Christians cannot be demon-possessed. All right? God does not believe in timeshares. Once he is in the house, the devil cannot enter, because greater is he, the word is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is living in me than he that is in the world. Demons can oppress, they can harass, but they cannot possess a believer. Now listen, this demon had hijacked this man, stealing his ability to hear and to speak so it could manipulate him and act out his perversion. But these two ex-blind men brought him to Jesus. Now we can read the passage. Let's read it. I'll read it half on this side, half on the other side. Here we go. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Yeah, go ahead and clap. I mean, hey, that's quite a feat. The guys bring Jesus, this deaf and dumb, demonized guy, and they say, listen, Jesus, we brought this guy. He needs help. Can you, we know you can help him. And again, Jesus proves that he is greater and stronger than all others. And he proves that an encounter with him will transform your life. Jesus said it like this, and this is the last verse of the morning. Say it out loud with me. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Now, after this whole encounter, there's another message that develops. Here's what it is. Jesus, after this incident, goes out of Peter's house, and the multitudes of sick and ailing and hurt and broken people are flooding towards him. They're flooding to Peter's house. They know he's there. They're all coming. And Jesus looks out and surveys all these people that are coming. It's overwhelming. The mission, the ministry, the amount of people that are coming. It's overwhelming. And you know what Jesus says? I'll tell you what he doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, what am I, a fly paper for freaks? What is this? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, can you guys bring me a stress sponge? I cannot believe this. The Bible says that Jesus had compassion on the multitude. The word compassion is the strongest word of emotion. It means heartbroken. Heartbroken to the point of tears. The same word is used when Jesus is at Lazarus' funeral. When he sees Mary and Martha, and they're devastated. And it says that Jesus wept. He had compassion on them and wept. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus, as he's looking out at the multitude, and his disciples are watching, they're probably like, oh my gosh, when is this going to stop? But Jesus says, they are like sheep in need of a shepherd. And then he goes out there and he begins to touch and heal and minister to them as much as is humanly possible. Because you have to realize Jesus is still a man. He cannot go get everybody. But as many as are humanly possible, he touches and he heals and he talks to and he comforts and he encourages and he strengthens. And he tells his disciples at this point, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The need is great. The situation is intense. So he said, the harvest is there, but the laborers are few. So he looks at his disciples and says, pray that the Lord send laborers to the harvest. He's drawing their faith out. He wants them to, they see the need. They're like sheep in need of a shepherd. The harvest is plentiful. There are so many people. There are so many needs. There are so many hurts. Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I want help. So pray. You want to know why? He asks them to pray. Because when you begin to pray about all the needs and all the hurts, you begin to have his heart. You begin to develop his heart, his compassion for those people who are hurting. They're not an interruption. You realize that they're just broken people looking for some answers, looking for some hope, looking for some help. And when you begin to pray for them, it becomes your calling. And in the very next chapter, people sometimes read there and then they pray, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And they close it because it's the end of chapter 9. They close it. They forget to read. Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. Chapter 10 starts with Jesus at that point, looks at them, and he gives them power over sickness and disease. He gives them power to help and to heal and to encourage. And he sends them out. You start praying. You start having a heart for it. And God gives you the power to go out there and help him and be a part of his work, to participate in his great work. Isn't that awesome? So listen, if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. But you're freed for a specific purpose. Yes, to have a family, to enjoy your life, but it's beyond that. It's also to extend beyond your front doors of your house, beyond your workplace. It is to extend yourself to the needs of others, to be his hands and his feet where they need to be in touching people's lives. And I promise you, this is actually more exhilarating and it is more rewarding than anything you could ever do. Any accolade you could hang on the wall, any trophy you could put in a case, this exceeds all of those things because you are cultivating and depositing into people's lives an eternal reward, something that lasts forever and something that God says, my kingdom shall be full. I want my house to be full. And you've participated in that. And guys, there is no better reward than knowing that you've accomplished what God has called you to accomplish. So, Father, we stand here as folks that you have called, that you have changed our lives. You have touched us, and Lord, you've done it for a reason. You've done it so that we can, in fact, engage with others, so that we can be your hands and your feet to share your message like these blind guys, so we can touch lives. And Lord, impact not just a life and a home and a family, but impact eternity. So I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that we would be yielded, open to your working in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. As we cling to the simple.
Thanks for joining us as Pastor Dion Cordova has brought us a message here on The Simple Truth. In this series entitled Encounters with Jesus, Pastor Dion has been digging into what it looked like for those that met and felt the healing power of Jesus here on earth. From people who thought they had it all together to those that believed they had nothing to offer, Jesus engaged with all of them equally. What an incredible thing to be able to interact with and talk with and even physically touch Jesus, the Son of God. It's a great privilege that many had the opportunity to experience during those times. The Simple Truth is a ministry out of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel in Española, New Mexico. We have services on Sunday mornings at 9 or 11 a.m., and if you'd like to jump into a Bible study with us midweek, come on by this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you. All of this information and more is found at tmcalvary.com. If this ministry has proven to be a blessing in your life, would you consider partnering with us financially? We have a donate tab on our website. Once again, that's tmcalvary.com. Head on over there now and check it out. You can also call us for any of your other questions. Our number is 505-753-4363. Once more, that's 505-753-4363. Well, that brings us to the end of our time today, but we hope to connect with you again. Pastor Dion has more to share, and you won't want to miss the next edition of The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim. We'll be fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands, and together we stand. Together we stand.